Why science fiction?
Because there are no closed doors, no walls. I mean, the only rule is if you use science, you should use it accurately. You can look at, examine, play with anything. Absolutely anything.
What was it about writing for you?
Oh, you got to make your own worlds. You got to write yourself in. Whether you were a part of the greater society or not, you got to write yourself in. So I got to write myself in.
Greetings, Earthlings. You are listening to Can You Get to That? I am Interstellar host Matthew Olson.
Wow. I'm your co-host Caitlin Bess. Matthew.
Yes.
Are you the same Matthew as before?
Affirmative.
You're the Matthew that I have known and loved for the last 3 years.
I have been an alien the whole time.
Uh-oh. You just like, is your normal voice, really? And you've just sort of been covering it up?
No, I have a cold. One moment. Okay. Is that sound better?
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Just keep clearing your throat. We can't have that happen again.
I am an alien, though. I thought, given everything that's happened this week, it was important to let everybody know that I'm an observer.
Just
I'm a
be
star
truthful.
Man.
Were you sent to oversee things, make sure everything's okay?
Have you read The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
Yes.
Or heard the radio play? Or seen the movie?
How fucking weird would it be if I had only heard the radio play?
I could see it if you were a nice old British lady.
Okay. Well, I'm not.
Yeah. I'm a lot like Ford Prefect, only instead of being a paid travel writer from the stars.
Mm-hmm.
This is like when Earthlings from North America go backpacking around Central Asia.
Mm.
Yeah, after graduating from a big state university.
So is this like charity work now that you're doing with the podcast and everything?
No, it's just for funsies.
Okay.
Trust me,
it's not a service trip.
It's not a certain. No. Hey there.
We have to
loop back around to the subject of service trips at some point this episode now that it's been invoked.
Okay.
I am of the stars, and I just gotta say, hey, we're all pulling for you, Earth.
Well, I'm of the Earth, and thanks. I mean, feel free to like intervene, honestly.
Look, I'm here and I'm the representative from the stars. We actually don't have that much. We got the travel thing down, but other than that, it's like the same. Other planets don't even have bidets yet, and that's if I can take one thing away from here. They don't even have two-ply on other planets. That alone would be...
Well, but, I mean, do they need those things on other planets?
Shockingly, most life in the universe has butts.
Does everybody poop?
There's actually everybody poop has been translated into all the known languages in the universe.
Well, yeah, thank God. I mean, it's a really important educational tool for. I'm assuming it's in all the pediatricians' offices throughout the universe as well.
Yeah. Even in the star systems where everything ages backwards, Benjamin Button style.
Yeah.
Well, this is Can You Get to That? And as always, we're a Wikipedia racing podcast, and anti-fascist as well. I think we said that on episode one, and
we say that at the start of every episode.
Yeah, yeah. And we will continue to create this show, at least until next week when we reach episode 69.
Ooh.
Maybe we could cut it off there. Because, I mean, nice.
Yeah, why keep going? I mean, that's sort of the... I don't know why any podcast keeps going past episode 69.
For episode 420.
Right.
Yeah, think about it.
That's a high hurdle, though. That's a ways off.
Do you think California is going to be just, like, more annoying than they already are now that they have the legal weed?
No.
I feel like they're going to treat their legal weed like they treat In-N-Out, and it's like, guys, it's not that good.
Like, ours is better.
Yeah. Yeah, like, our legal bud is so much better. Also, I don't have glaucoma anymore.
Yeah, In-N-Out's, like, fine, honestly. I don't get what the big fucking deal is.
They think it's, like, some fucking revolution that you can have, what is it, like, Thousand Island dressing on your french fries if you wink at the cashier. Like, fuck
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it's like fried onions and Thousand Island dressing, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
I've not had a sweatier, more average burger than an In-N-Out, save for, like, a Wendy's burger.
Wow, a sweaty burger, huh?
Yeah, I'd say sweaty.
Oof. Brutal.
Yeah. How's a... Hey, foot update.
Still broken.
still broken. Can you before we launch into the topic, though, can you just give us an update on your phone?
Also broken. Also now broken. Well, maybe not broken. I don't know. It went in the water. I'll say that.
And, Schrodinger's phone.
Yeah, it fucking is like that. Until I turn it back on.
So it exists in a quantum state.
It's both broken and not broken.
Think about that. Think about that bright side. You're running a fucking, like, metaphysical experiment in your kitchen right now.
Right in my kitchen in a little Ziploc bag with a packet of lime desiccant.
Desiccant.
Do you know what... The little packet of desiccant, you know what it came out of?
What?
We had this jar of, like... It's labeled rice seasoning. It's, like, from the Japanese grocery store. And it's just, like, seaweed and little sprinkles of seaweed and shit. So this little packet of desiccant, it just smells like squid.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, I always get nervous when I, like, irrationally nervous when I find those bags in a package of food after I've already opened the package and used some. Like, it's just further down in the bag.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh God, what if I had not noticed and I'd, like,
what if
just
I had,
put it in
what
my
if
soup?
I had swallowed this packet?
Well, the thing that I was about to ask you is, do you know what happens if you do? Like,
you fucking die, right?
That's what I assume happens, but I don't know the exact mechanics. Like,
I just always assume this is what I picture. I picture you swallow this thing. Oh man, you don't watch Adventure Time because I have the perfect image in my head.
I might have a more perfect image in my head.
Let me tell you, I don't know. I don't even know if I can find this picture. So Marceline, the vampire queen, she can drink blood like normal vampires, or she can just drink the shade of red to survive.
Okay.
And there's this episode where they're out, like, on a little quest, and Marceline didn't bring any snacks, and she gets really hungry, and they sort of get trapped in this place, and Princess Bubblegum shows up to rescue them, and Marceline immediately sucks all of the red out of Princess Bubblegum, and she just becomes this sort of dried out husk.
No.
That's what I picture happens. You swallow this thing and all the juice in your body gets sucked into it, and you're just this gray, lifeless, waterless bag.
Yeah, I was gonna say I imagine it looks like at the end of the third Indiana Jones movie. Mm-hmm. When the Nazi drinks from the wrong grail and he starts to age super fast and gets all dried up and turns into bones. So that's, yeah, I think we're on like the same
basic
wavelength.
Idea. Yeah.
Yeah. But, that is some fantastical, fiction. Mm-hmm. Indiana Jones didn't become sci-fi until the fourth movie, which we shall speak of no longer.
Is that the Crystal Skull one?
Exactly. Thanks, George Lucas. We're here to talk about some real sci-fi. We're here to talk about Octavia Butler. That is this week's topic. Did you just introduce Octavia Butler with air horns?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
I think she's worth it, don't you?
She is worth it. Author of Bloodchild, Kindred, the Parable series, and more. Winner of multiple Hugo Awards, and I think multiple Nebula Awards, excuse me. And the first sci-fi author to win the MacArthur Genius Grant.
Wow.
She is a black woman. And recently I started reading a book of short stories entitled Octavia's Brood. That is a collection of stories by particularly organizers and activists who are people of color. And it's named, obviously, in her memory. She passed away in 2006 in a small town just outside of Seattle. But she is awesome. She doesn't really know how bathrooms work in outer space. I can say that from real experience, but
you can say that from the time when you went to space, because you're from space, obviously. What am I saying?
Yeah, it's
sorry.
Yeah.
I forgot.
You forget so quickly. These
I'm so used to thinking that you grew up in Kirkland, Washington, and not Omicron Persei 8.
I take offense at you using the Futurama planet to box me in. The planet I'm from is actually called Kirkland, Washington. It's like a really weird convenient cover.
Okay.
This is a dumb bit which I'm gonna drop in 3, 2, 1. Hi, I'm a white boy from the suburbs of Seattle, for real.
I don't even know if I believe you. I don't know if I believe that. I don't know what to believe at all anymore.
I do wear a crystal around my neck, and it is the source of my power.
That is a true fact.
That is a true fact. Fact, not fiction.
Let me share my thing with you.
Yeah, share me that screen.
Abu Ali Khatibi, step one.
Step one.
Now, I would say that this is a stub.
Yeah, it is.
It's one sentence long.
No,
and it says
it's two sentences.
It's three sentences, but the three sentences occupy one line on the desktop view of Wikipedia. It says Abu Ali Khatib was a Sufi saint of Egypt. He learned the knowledge of Sufism from Rudbari. He died in Egypt.
Yeah,
that's all we know.
That's all Wikipedia knows about this person. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it says right down at the bottom, this biographical article about an Egyptian religious figure is a stub. You can help Wikipedia by expanding it.
What if we right now just decided to help Wikipedia by expanding it?
We just spend the whole episode researching the life of Abu Ali Khatibi and then fixing this article.
Yeah, that'd be an entertainment, right?
I think of all the ideas we've had for like spin-off shows, that one's maybe the strongest, only it would be just boring as fuck, right?
Yeah, like so boring.
Who wants
like
to learn like
fun
from
for
a
us
podcast?
I would be fun for me.
It would not be fun for me.
Why? You don't like learning?
I have gone on the record before as being staunchly anti-smart podcast.
Okay. I don't think I've ever heard you say that.
If only because they all are produced the same, a la.
I'm Adels and I hate books.
No.
I hate books and I hate learning.
That's not what I said at all.
I went to college, but I didn't like it at all.
That is not what I said at all. I said smart podcasts. Books, A-okay.
I go on Wikipedia because I don't trust the information to be correct, and so it doesn't feel like learning to me.
That's probably true of some people out there. I don't know, this bit is suddenly getting hashtag too real. No, I mean, I can't remember what the last, like, really, like, educational podcast I got, like, deeply into was. Like,
Was it Judge John Hodgman?
Well, that's not educational. That is entertainment.
Was it Harmon Quest?
Remind me what they teach on Harmon Quest again.
They teach about, like, Dungeons and Dragons, mostly. Some other stuff too, but
the history of Dungeons and also sometimes Dragons.
Sometimes Dragons, yeah.
I guess that could be up my alley, but I'm not convinced. Like, I'm not totally bought into it. Also, can you imagine if you forced Dan Harmon to try and, like, direct a documentary? like a documentary where, like, can you imagine if you tried to get, if you put Dan Harmon in charge of, like, fucking Planet Earth or something?
Yeah.
Like,
what, directing Planet Earth?
There would be news out of, like, fucking Variety magazine being like, Dan Harmon cuts ties with wild iguana after contentious day on set in the fucking jungle, like, unleashes, like, vile tweet storm at uncooperative iguana.
Oh, damn. That iguana never know what hit it.
Reconciles with Chevy Chase after regrettable iguana experience.
But the thing, I feel like if you hired a person, just like an entertainer, to direct Planet Earth, it would just be like, the scope of it would just be like, we go to the Bronx Zoo and look at the animals there.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that's like, I'm pretty sure that must already exist. There must be, like, an episode of, like, Billy on the Street where he just, like, runs up to animals at the Bronx Zoo and is like, hey, what do you think about this?
Yeah, there definitely is. Let's go to
Egypt? I think Egypt.
Okay.
And you're going to hate my idea for how we get to science fiction from Egypt.
Okay, and what is it?
The pyramids.
Oh, God.
And Stargate.
Yeah, Stargate is fine. You said the pyramids, and you know who I thought about?
What? Ben Carson?
Yeah, that guy. I blocked his name out for a second.
No, you see, I believe that the pyramids were used as giant grain silos, even though people tell you they went inside of them and found tombs in there.
Found bodies in there.
Who's to say it wasn't just full of seeds at one point, you know?
It's just
also,
like,
also somehow I've actually performed brain surgery.
God, it's just like, it's just not even funny anymore.
Has there ever been any one person who's, like, completely fucked up an idiom for all time? Like saying, well, it's not brain surgery, like, is meaningless now. Because,
yeah, no shit.
Because apparently brain surgery is pretty, like, pretty attainable by, yeah, anybody.
You can just do it. It's really not in the head so much. It's just in the hands. It's just, mm-hmm, basically muscle memory.
Yeah.
You know? It's like fixing a carburetor.
It's just, you're just a human mechanic, you know?
It's just all parts in there, and, like, you know...
It doesn't matter if you believe in evolution or not.
You just get the book. You get the book out. The book's got all the labels. It points to what the different parts do. And you just go, you go to town. Nothing to it, really.
It doesn't matter if a primate brain looks nearly identical to a human brain.
Nah.
Nah. Different things. That's completely.
Not, we're not operating on primates. We're not fucking worried about them right now. Why do you have to bring primates? I don't know what a monkey brain looks like, and I don't give a fuck.
Well, if you'd seen the second Indiana Jones movie, actually, you would know what monkey brain looks like.
Oh, a real monkey brain, huh? Is that what they used?
What do you think? What do you think the best is? It gelatin? Is gelatin the best, like, movie stand-in for, like,
the most brain-like substance?
Monkey brain. Yeah.
Do you know that brains apparently? When I was in high school health class, the health teacher, to demonstrate what the brain feels like, got a packet of room temperature butter, like, wrapped in saran wrap, and apparently that's the consistency of your brain.
Room temperature butter
wrapped in saran wrap, so it's like it's got some firmness, but it's just butter in there.
Oh.
Isn't that fucked?
I guess that explains, like, you know, that makes concussions make more sense, I guess.
Yeah, because the butter just gets fucking slammed against the front of your skull. You throw a stick of butter at a wall.
It's done.
It's done. It's smushed.
It's done, baby. That's why you gotta have a skull around that butter.
You want to know another gross body fact? I might have actually said this on the show.
Okay.
Did I tell you the thing about nerves?
I can't remember.
About finger nerves specifically?
No. I don't
remember. I read this thing. I was worried at one time that I had severed a nerve in my finger. And I Googled whatever. And I learned that the nerves in your fingers are roughly the thickness of a piece of angel hair pasta.
Mm-hmm.
Which... I mean, first of all, that's surprising. I didn't think they would be that big. And second, just this image now of a piece of angel hair pasta. Like, I can't fucking think about.
Okay.
I cannot think about eating angel hair pasta without thinking about nerves.
We have talked about this. I don't know if we've talked about this on the show before, but it's neurons are connecting. And now we're a fucking educational podcast. Look at what you've made us into.
Oopsie.
Caitlin. Time to cue up that music cue from the other week. Dramatic pause. No, there's a scene in, like, the pilot, maybe, or, like, the second episode of Lost, mm-hmm. where Jack, Matthew Fox's character, talks mm-hmm. about performing. He's a spinal surgeon in the show, and he talks about performing the spinal surgery on the woman who ended up becoming his wife. She was mm-hmm. in a car accident, and it's like, fuck, like, this is terrible, like, there's no way to do this, and uses the description of angel hair pasta to describe the, like, bundle of nerves that, like, came spooling out of the spine. So it's not just that you have pasta in your fingers, your whole spinal column is just full of spaghetti.
All your nerves are spaghetti.
You're a spaghetti monster. We're all walking spaghetti monsters.
God, that's an even worse description. I don't... Fuck. Is it a bundle? Is it just like a tied together bundle?
I don't fucking know. I ain't seen it.
I was pictured your spine was...
Isn't that our
was,
principle?
I was pictured your
it?
Spine was like a solid... Like one solid thing.
But I think that's more disturbing though, right?
I don't
like
know.
Like if it's just one tube.
It's just a... I mean, I'm more comfortable with one bit. What's the fat spaghetti called?
The fat spaghetti?
The fat spaghetti.
Udon?
Well, okay, sure. I'm more comfortable with one udon noodle in there than 15 angel hair noodles.
Wait, can we just say what the top result for fat spaghetti in Google is, Caitlin, since you popped
up
in the tab?
The top result for fat spaghetti is a recipe for fat spaghetti with bacon and cherry tomato sauce by Rachel Ray.
Yeah. I think it's just fat spaghetti because you shouldn't be putting bacon in spaghetti.
Fat, yeah.
Gosh, that looks like a lot of bacon in there from that little thumbnail.
So you do what you gotta do, baby.
I might make fat spaghetti tonight.
Maybe you should make fat spaghetti tonight.
Honestly, spaghetti sounds pretty
Spaghetti's really good, actually.
It sounds pretty good, and I'm kind of glad that I'm made out of 90% spaghetti.
Yeah.
Hey, can we talk about something that I think we've broached on the show before we kind of dive head first at the giant grain silos? Remember how I used to be made mostly of bagel?
Yes. No. Well, you were made of cream cheese largely, I think.
Yeah, maybe the bagel part was expended as energy, but the cream cheese was being incorporated in my cells. Yeah,
the cream cheese is like the building. It's like the bricks that your body's made of.
So a couple things.
And the bagel is the gas.
A couple things on this point. One, a very good boy named Zach just moved out to New York from Portland. Glad to have him out here. He did tell me the night of the American presidential election that he was going to bring me a bagel from Spielman Bagels.
Yeah.
And he did not.
Roughly what time was that again that he told you that?
It was about 4 a.m. my time.
Yeah, so... Picture the state we were in.
I know. I was a little sad. I didn't really expect it, but I was a little sad that he came empty-handed.
The next day, we went to Spielman. We had a very sad time at Spielman the next morning, and we sat there for like maybe 4 hours, and he talked about that. He said, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think I can manage this bagel chore I've given myself.
Wow. Some friend, right? But also,
right.
What do you think my bagel, or sorry, my cream cheese, like, do I look at, you can see me right now on the webcam, Caitlin, now that we're using Skype. Do I look as creamy as I used to? Am I getting less creamy? I still eat bagels fairly often, but like.
You're just as creamy.
Oh, thanks.
You still are creamy boy.
I'm still a creamy boy.
Yeah.
That's nice. Anyway, we should click on pyramids.
Yeah. Man, it's so nice how we didn't talk about the country of Egypt at all just then.
I mean...
It's fine.
Look, we're here to play a game.
That's true, yeah.
We got too educational when we were talking about how we're made of pasta.
Right.
It's too much fact. Not enough game.
One fact at a time.
Yeah. So there's got to be a section that's like weird sci-fi BS that people think about pyramids, right?
Yeah, see, also. Yeah, I don't know if you're right, though.
Maybe wow, Wikipedia.
Here's a pyramid that they done and fucked up. Look at this. That's not a pyramid. That's a fucking, like, that's a slanted box.
Yeah, it's like a trapezoidal prism. But what about these other ones that are that just
look
like mountains?
Hills. This is just a pile of sand.
You see all these pictures of amazing, beautiful pyramids at Giza, but then you're like, "What? Give me the complete list of Egyptian pyramids." And
yeah,
it's like,
give me everything that led up to that.
Well, this one was basically just a large hill that we kind of made more pointy. That reminds me, now I'm waxing nostalgic. There was this hill at a park near my friend Christian's house in the suburbs in Redmond, Washington. And it was just this fucking, it was just this big ass hill. Like, I've never seen a park, even in suburbia, other than this one, where like there was like a big toy thing. And like a basketball court there, but like the centerpiece of it was clearly just this large pointy hill. And I to this day I don't fucking know if that hill was just there, or if the park designers were like,
let's put a pyramid here,
if we put a big ass hill here, people are gonna roll down it. Even even stupid like 14-year-olds who could be doing much better things with their time, they're gonna go to the park at night and just like
and roll down the hill.
Who can roll down the hill faster? I can.
Oh, damn.
Tumble, tumble, tumble. I mean, I guess it was good for sledding the like two times it snows ever you in Seattle's history.
Did you ever slide the grass? I think you have to have long grass actually for this to work. There was this hill at my elementary school, and we would like get pizza boxes and slide down the hill on the pizza boxes.
That sounds fucking tight as hell. It was tight. We did not have that.
I don't know if it works on like a lawn. You know, you might have to have that long, like that shine, that dry, yeah, slippery grass.
We don't even know if there's going to be a real winter globally this year yet. But I was kind of like, I've got my Doc Martens, I've got my wool coat. Like, I'm excited to fucking
burn. I'm never going to need them again.
No, I'm excited to fucking brave the ginormous Apple winter. And now I might not get to.
Right.
Because the thing is, like, I did grow up somewhere that, like, rarely had real winters. And so the thought of just, like, it's going to be fucking snowy and miserable for 2 months is, like, weirdly exciting to me. Mm-hmm. Because I remember one time it actually snowed in elementary school. I don't know how this happened. They must have already had this shit just, like, locked away, like, in a closet in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
But it snowed, there was still school, and then like I think it might have actually been the principal went out and zip tied these targets to a chain link fence on the playground to encourage kids if they were gonna like make snowballs to get really fucking good at throwing them. Like,
was that it, or was it to tell kids throw your snowballs at this fence and not like at cars or people?
Look,
or the
school. that might be the immediate intended purpose, but like the clear after effect is if you drill on those targets for a while, 5 years from now when it snows again, you're gonna have better aim than all these other fucking kids who went to schools that didn't have targets.
You better fucking keep drilling on the targets for the next 5 years.
Gonna
be throwing rocks at him.
Oh man.
I remember when it snowed. I remember it snowed like, I think it snowed one time when I was in high school, and I remember people in the halls just fucking screaming. Like 16 and 17-year-old kids just fucking losing it because it was snowing outside.
Yeah, when you don't have that like as a regular thing, like we do in the Northwest. Like you fucking savor it. Yeah. You bide your fucking time. You hope. And it's not like, oh, snow day, like I don't have to fucking do shit. Like, no.
It is part of it.
I mean, it is part of it, yes. But you wanna see the world fucking changed.
You wanna see the world grind to a halt.
real talk, and now this is gonna be like a teensy bit sad. But I think the last picture I have of me, like, in Washington with snow, is from 2008, like, immediately after the elections. And a friend of my brother's bought my brother a commemorative bought my brother a commemorative Barack Obama inauguration plate.
Yeah.
Like a plate. And so it's just a picture of me outside in this like shitty American Apparel hoodie I had, holding this plate up next to my face, smiling like with this big old grin, and there's just snow everywhere outside.
Yeah.
And I may never see snow in Washington again.
Yeah. That's fucking real.
It's too real. Do you want to click on Pyramidian?
Yeah, I don't know what that is. It sounds like science fiction. Okay, here's my other idea.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, two other ideas. Number one, ziggurat. I don't know if that's any more likely to yield sci-fi references.
Yeah.
My number two idea is Egyptian pyramid construction techniques. which might yield people talking about how it's impossible that people built these things.
Yeah, I just don't know what the Pyramidion is.
Yeah, me neither.
So that's like a kind of like if we just want to venture into the unknown. And frankly, like I'm a little unknowned out right now.
You know if I have to guess what a Pyramidion is?
What?
You know what I'm guessing? It's just like a pyramid-like thing.
I bet you're right. I bet you it's like actually just a box. It's just a large stone box.
Yeah.
I think we should do construction techniques.
Okay.
If only because I think for our listeners, we should, listeners, this is a service to you. If you've never delved into Pyramid Wiki before, you'll get to see whether or not this link helps us in our journey towards sci-fi, exactly how like weird and conspiracy theory this part of Wikipedia is. So I think we should do construction techniques. Step four. All right. There are many hypotheses. Oh, this is a good start. Yeah.
Okay. Different kinds of ramps.
Space ramps.
Where does it say space ramps?
It doesn't say space ramps.
I was making
a joke. These are actually kind of sick diagrams.
Yeah, the writings of Herodotus. Let's see. What does Herodotus think? Herodotus' account states, "This pyramid was made like stairs, which some call steps and others tiers."
Thanks, Herodotus, for clearing that up.
Oh, man.
I leave this uncertain as both possibilities. What both possibilities? Oh, like using levers.
Mm-hmm.
But this is certain, that the upper part of the pyramid was finished off first, then the next below it, and last of all the base and the lowest part is what Herodotus thought. So Herodotus thought
that doesn't make sense.
Herodotus thought they were just able to build a large tower. Did he think it was like a Bloomin' Onion?
From the top. Yeah.
Like they erected like pillars to form the highest point and then just kind of like concentric around that. Is that what he's saying?
I don't see how that's like a Bloomin' Onion, but I think that is what he's saying.
Caitlin, take yourself back to the last time you were at an Outback Steakhouse.
I've been once. I was 10 years old.
Okay. Well, then maybe let me try to
paint me a word picture.
Yeah, I'm going to paint you a sensory word picture, okay?
Okay.
All right. There's a didgeridoo on the wall.
Okay. Okay, perfect.
On the center of the table, at the booth that you're at, there's a basket, and inside the basket is this soft, warm, fragrant brown rye bread.
Okay.
With just the littlest dusting of salt on it. And you can peel off a chunk of the bread and dip it in the little ramekin of butter, right? And you
wow, they have ramekins there?
I think so.
Wow.
I hope I'm not painting an inaccurate picture here. Anyway, you dip the bread in the butter and you bring it up to your mouth and you take a bite and it's like the closest thing you've had to ambrosia, right?
Fuck.
And you can see at the table across from you, there's a family of six.
Now, what's the composition of this family of six? Are we talking two parents, four kids? Are we talking four kids or four parents, two kids?
It's two parents.
All parents?
Two parents, three kids, one sad uncle.
Okay. Got it.
And the patriarch is digging into just like the juiciest looking Outback steak, while the sad uncle is just eating a Caesar salad because he's sad. He split up. He's trying to lose some weight. That's also why he's like, he did not get the house in the separation. So he's actually staying with the family now, and the kids are not sure what to make of having a live-in uncle. It's kind of harshing their vibe, especially the oldest daughter, the teenager. She's really not into it because the sad uncle used to be a music producer. And whenever she has...
because sad uncle is legendary music producer Timbaland.
Timbaland is the sad uncle, yes. This is also taking place in the future. And then as you're noticing all these things about the family of Timbaland's let's say, sister. The bloomin' onion arrives at your table, and you can see that it's an onion, but it's been split, like, it's been split horizontally and vertically such that it kind of falls open, right?
Yeah.
But
you could say it. You could say it sort of blooms open.
Exactly. Yeah. Like a beautiful flower, and at the very center, right, which is the the point where the diameter of the sphere is longest, right? That stands straight up.
Wait.
Sorry.
The point where the diameter of the sphere.
I know. I tried to transition from detailed Outback Steakhouse language to accurate mathematical language, and it did not come out. But you get it.
That was a whoopsie.
The widest across, right? Like that's the bisection. Fuck. You know what I mean.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah.
The core.
The diameter.
The core of the
core.
Onion, right? It stands,
yeah, the heart.
It stands above all the other sectioned off pieces that kind of bloom away from it, right?
Yeah.
I think that's how Herodotus thinks the pyramids were built, is they reformed the onion.
Is they got one solid piece of rock. They cut it crossways.
No, they constituted
one. They deep fried it. And then they plopped it down in the desert. Is what they did.
Oi, welcome to Outback Pyramid.
Oh man, Matt.
We deep fry these stones.
Put them
on the barbie.
Excuse me, waiter. Waiter?
Oi.
Where are you from?
The Outback.
The Outback of which place?
Australia.
Huh, okay.
There's dingoes here.
Here in the restaurant?
Oi.
I
That's an affirmative oi.
I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go.
You can't, before you've settled up, you already ate the basket of rye bread.
You know, bread used to be free. What the fuck is happening to this country?
Not my America.
Oh boy.
Wow.
What is
the Herodotus machine?
In the see also section, there's a thing called the Herodotus machine.
We fucking can't. I can't believe there's no just like aliens did it. Link on this page.
Right? What the fuck?
This is some bullshit. This is too
straight
and narrow.
I'm deeply let down.
Ah. What the hell, Wikipedia? I thought so much better of you.
Damn. Yeah, this is like all science.
This is like all science and history. Wait, theories about Stonehenge.
Yeah, we could try that. That's another.
Maybe we should step up the page and hope to get to sci-fi, right? So theories about Stonehenge, step 5.
Okay.
All right. Theories about Stonehenge. All right, paranormal. We're getting close. I can already see there's a link to paranormal.
Okay, paranormal. Okay,
no,
we got that.
Don't click it yet.
Let's look through the rest. Let's look through what else we got. Early theories.
Well, I'm pretty sure that...
Some legends held that Merlin had a giant build the structure.
Okay, well, maybe we can just skip over the Merlin part. I don't know how useful that's going to be. Druids, scientific evidence.
Was Merlin a real dude like Jesus?
I hate that I can't answer this positively or negatively. I fucking hate you for asking that question. I don't know. I don't know if there was a historical Merlin or not.
Damn. We're dumb. We're real dumb.
Apparently. Apparently, we are. Yeah. So, you haven't been to Stonehenge, yeah?
No.
Nor have I.
Yeah.
I feel like we gotta make a crystal pilgrimage there.
Yeah, I'm down.
Before it's too late.
Say the word.
Was that a...
Before it's too late? What do you think is gonna happen to it?
It falls over.
Okay.
I was out at a bar last night where I got completely ripped off for some margaritas, I must say.
Oh, I mean, that sounds usual.
But I will say one positive note is that as I presented my ID to the bouncer, he looked mm-hmm. down and saw my pendant and was like, "Nice quartz." And then he like held both of his hands out and was doing like a mock, like, "I'm feeling the energy." And I was like, "You fucking get it." Because I've had people on the subway here in the ginormous Apple be like, "Hey, man, did you get that from Namaste, the crystal store in the Lower East Side?" And I'm like, "Nah, I wrapped it myself.
I found it in the wild.
Do not know if I would want to shop at the Manhattan crystal store named Namaste. I'd kind of have to like look into the origins of it before I'd feel comfortable doing that.
Very overpriced.
Yeah, and also probably just out of my price range for rocks. This was the first person to like, first stranger in the city to call attention to it and also just be like, "I'm feeling the vibes." And I was like, "That's exactly the reaction I want to get."
The one chill bro in all of New York City.
The one chill bro bouncer, yeah.
Should we click on paranormal? I'm not seeing anything else.
I guess so. There's nothing about aliens.
Ley lines. What are ley lines?
Okay, ley lines. Okay, this is a very serious paranormal thing.
Is this from like Matt?
Yeah.
Is it in the Da Vinci Code?
It might be, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
It is in Ghostbusters 2016.
Oh, that's right. Yep. Yeah.
You know, it's just those currents of energy that are traced across the globe. Yeah. And I guess ghosts and shit happen.
Ghosts go on them.
At intersections, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so we could go ley lines or we can go paranormal. But maybe ley lines is just a more roundabout way to get to paranormal.
I think so. I think we should click on paranormal step 6.
Okay.
I'm determined that we should get to this topic no matter what. I don't know how close we are.
For sure.
We're getting pretty deep into things, but we should fucking do it. I just learned about a famous medium the other night. I was at prior to Halloween, I was at a drunk TED Talks event in Brooklyn.
So quirky.
It was actually pretty awesome because everyone was presenting on witches.
Wow, all about witches, huh?
All about witches, yeah. So, you know, apparently the last time the witchcraft law in the United Kingdom was used was in the 40s. Because there was do you know anything about mediums and like the scam of being a medium?
I mean, I'm aware that there's scams involving like paranormal.
But do you know like how they would do things, like the parlor tricks they would do?
Not in particular. I can't say they do, no.
So they would make ghosts appear, right? And they would like, there would be like evidence of ectoplasm, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the way that they accomplished this was more often than not by basically swallowing a bunch of cheesecloth.
Ew.
And or otherwise hiding it on their person and then having the lights go out in the room. And then, yeah.
I don't like this.
Making it come back up. The So to be a really good medium, you had to get really good at going like, wait, hold on. Arthur C. Clarke.
I think we got this figured out. We got this in the bag, baby.
Yeah, I see Arthur C. Clarke, I think.
Wait, what?
Right?
I don't actually know who that is. I'm seeing Carl Sagan.
I guess he wrote Contact, right? Sagan wrote Contact.
Yeah, who wrote Contact? But who's Arthur C. Clarke?
Another sci-fi writer.
Okay, what did he write?
I'm blanking temporarily. I'm sorry. I don't remember. We know Sagan, and also there's a Sagan connection to this podcast. You know who I'm talking about? That little bundle of joy.
That little scamp. You know, I was just babysitting that little scamp last night.
Exactly. See, there's a Sagan connection here.
There's a Sagan.
Yeah.
There's a Sagan in my life.
We should click Carl Sagan.
Yeah, for sure.
Have you ever watched Contact?
No, I haven't. Have you?
Step six, Carl Sagan. It's a pretty good.
Such a doofy smile this guy had.
Yeah, I mean, it's a warm.
In a good way.
A warm, doofy smile. I did not know that he was born in Brooklyn and died in Seattle. I did not know that he was living in Seattle. Or maybe he was. Maybe that's where he was at the time. Contact is a pretty good movie. Jodie Foster, great.
Yeah.
John Hurt, great. Matthew McConaughey,
Damn, I didn't know he was in that movie.
Yeah, it's a good cast.
Damn.
Yeah. That movie is like 3 hours, though, so like, wow, clear your really? Fucking schedule. Yeah, it's a lot. Well, I'm okay. Let's look this up. Also, I'm not seeing Wikipedia on your end, because
I got to share.
You swapped your screen.
Might be.
Contact movie runtime. Let's see. 2 hours, 30 minutes. Okay. So not 3 hours, but also like pretty fucking long. It's
more time than I have.
Yeah.
There's a section of this article that's just called billions and billions in quotation marks.
I mean, click down to it.
Billions and billions. Huh. Sagan became jokingly associated with the catchphrase billions and billions, although he never actually used the phrase in the Cosmos series.
He rather used the term billions upon billions.
Oh, I mean, fucking close enough. Jeez.
Yeah. Can we scroll down to awards? Because he might have won an award for sci-fi writing that Butler might have also won.
Awards and honors. Why is this in the small font?
I don't know.
That's weird.
Hugo Award. Yeah.
Which column? Left or right?
Left column.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, click it. Step seven. Hugo?
He's won several Hugo Awards. He won a Hugo for Cosmos.
Oh, nonfiction book.
I didn't know that was a... I don't know that was within the scope of the Hugo Awards.
Yeah, there you go. There you have it. So we should be able to fucking...
We should be in the clear, right?
Yeah, we should be able to wrap this right up. I think it's in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, well, this part is actually not helpful at all. The part where it lists the quote-unquote history, doesn't it say any of the winners? It's just like...
Well, she might still be on here. We don't know.
No, I'm not giving up. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Because we can also go... List of joint winners of the Hugo Nebula Awards. That might not be helpful.
Well, yeah, joint winners. I don't know if that would mean for the same work.
Yeah, I swear to fucking God.
Because she's definitely won both.
I swear to fucking God, though, if there's not just a list of Hugo Award winners that's linked to from this article.
Yeah, fuck Wikipedia.
Yeah, fuck this place.
For lists of winners and nominees for each category, see list of award categories below. Okay. Ooh, okay.
Okay, so it's split up into a lot of
different categories.
There's a award for best fanzine.
And an award for best fan cast. Yeah, audiovisual fanzines.
Started in 2012.
started in 1912. What were you going to say? Yeah.
I recorded this.
On a wax fucking, cylinder.
Yeah, what fucking science fiction even was there in 1912?
Was that post-War of the Worlds at that point?
I don't think so. I think that was quite a bit pre-War of the Worlds.
Well, they did the radio adaptation in the 30s, so I actually don't know.
Okay.
I like literally don't know. I should know this. We should know this the same as
we should know if Merlin was a guy.
we gotta just type that into Google after this. And
was Merlin a guy?
Was Merlin a guy?
Yeah.
Well, that's just gonna be like, yes, he was a dude in mythology. And I'm like, no, like, was he around? Can I go visit his grave? I think we should do novel, because I'm fairly certain she won for a novel.
Okay.
So, Hugo Award for Best Novel, step 8.
There we go. Let's go through the list. Robert A. Heinlein, what a piece of shit.
Vonnegut won in 1964. No, he didn't win. He got nominated.
He was nominated.
Wait, hold on. Hold what? The fucking phone.
What?
He got nominated in 1964 for Cat's Cradle.
Yeah.
But Clifford D. Simak won for Here Gather the Stars, also known as Waystation.
Hey.
Who the fuck cares about that? Like, it's probably a great book, but who the fuck cares? Cat's Cradle.
I don't know, man. I mean, it's almost like awards are like, I don't know, like politicized, ooh, or like, ooh, sometimes people just have bad taste, or...
Ooh, this is a rough year, though. 1970, Slaughterhouse-Five, again, Kurt Vonnegut, one of the nominees, dude. But up against The Left Hand of Darkness, which is one of my favorite fucking books, and thankfully did win, so...
Fucking...
Damn.
Battle of
hey, have sci-fi, you finished you finished Lave of Heaven yet?
No, dude. I needed to catch I started it and I was like, damn, this is dark, and I had to just like catch my breath for a minute.
You texted me while you're reading it because you realized that the Lave of Heaven basically is just the book version of when we do bits about slipping into about different time streams.
Yeah.
On this show. And that's very true. It's very true.
Extremely true.
Extremely true.
Man, we're getting towards the end of the 90s here, and I'm not seeing our girl.
What the fuck?
Man, did you know J.K. Rowling won a Hugo Award for Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire?
I did not. That seems a little... No offense to J.K. Shit, really? Was she not nominated for novel? Octavia, fuck.
You know that she won a Hugo Award, not a Nebula.
Yeah, she won both.
Okay. Well.
Ah, dang it.
We have a fallback then. Okay, I'm going to go through just a little more meticulously because I've sort of been skimming.
Yeah, we might have scrolled past something. I don't know. Larry Niven.
What did she win for?
That's the thing. I don't know.
You don't
all
know,
I know is that then. She was a winner. She's a winner.
She's a winner. Well, I could have told you that. Anyway.
Yeah, without doing any prior looking. Dang it.
Can I just say there really is a fairly awful noise coming in through my headphones, and it's not recording, but I can hear it and I don't like it.
I'm sorry.
It's
Did
okay.
it just start up again?
It's sort of been on and off.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I don't know how we would fix that.
Yeah, me neither.
Maybe that's just your computer judging us for doing so bad.
Perhaps.
Okay, I'm trying to remember. Can we just scroll through the book list again? Or the list here again more slowly? Because I know that there was... fuck, who is the author? There's one other sci-fi author who was like a good pal of Octavia Butler's who might have been nominated or won at some point. We could maybe get through
what, who is that person?
That person, that's the fucking thing, is I'm trying to look at the names to see if it like jogs my memory.
One of them lights up. I have a couple person, other ideas.
Ooh, the person was also wrote for Star Trek, like wrote scripts for Star Trek.
Uh-huh.
Same person. Shit.
I have a couple other ideas if you can't think of this person.
Yeah.
The first, okay, well, I don't know if we can find a link to Nebula Awards on this page. Okay, so there is an award or a link to a Nebula Award for Best Novel.
Yeah.
Off of here. Or N.K. Jemisin, I know, is a black science fiction writer. I don't know if she's in...
Oh.
I don't know if she's in The Brood.
Oh. But maybe there would be...
Maybe
sort
there
of
would
a...
be some sort of connection linkage. There. Yeah.
Yeah, I was also thinking we could probably go through Ursula. So...
Yeah, one way or another.
What do we think? Nebula?
I think we go Nebula Ward first.
Okay, yeah. So, step 9, Nebula Award for Best Novel.
Wow, when you win the Nebula Award, you get a little...
You get a little nebula.
A little nebula.
And some planets. That's wow. cute.
That's so cute. It's like some glitter in sort of a nebula shape and some little like marbles just yo. Like encased in plastic resin.
Yeah, yo though, Ursula, your girl Ursula has the most nebula awards for best
fuck
novel.
Yeah, she does.
Ha.
Cuz she's the best.
All right.
She's the best one.
All right. I don't think Octavia had novels start coming out until the 80s.
Yeah.
So let's scroll real careful through here. Seeing a lot of guy names.
Natch.
Fucking Orson Scott Card. What a
piece
of work.
Shit. I hope he dies. I mean, he will die, but...
yeah. Going through more carefully... If we're just adding more unnecessary steps here, though, I'm going to feel like a real dingus for not having, like, been like, Hugo for short story, go.
Right. Oh, there she is.
There she is. Yes.
Parable of the Sower.
There we go.
1994.
A round 10.
Ding, 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 ding.
10 steps to get to Octavia E. Butler. Perfect.
Octavia Estelle Butler.
Yeah.
Coincidence?
Wait, so we clicked through. It was actually in 1995 that she was nominated for Nebula for one of the Parable novels.
94, I think I said.
No, it was 95.
Was it 95? Okay.
Yeah, but didn't win, but did get the Genius Grant that year. So, fuck you, Nebulas. I think the Genius Grant has always been associated with a fat, fat stack of cash, so... You know,
yeah, like that, that's what it is. It's a grant. It's money.
It's money.
She can buy her own plastic encased nebula with that money.
I bet she didn't, but I mean, if she did, she earned it. You know, what would you want encased in plastic resin as a trophy in honor of like what you do?
What is it that I do?
Well, you get to choose what that thing is, I guess, that you win the award for.
Hold on, I'm thinking. Everything I'm thinking of is like pretty macabre.
Well,
How about this, Matt? I got one.
Okay.
Just a fucking deep fried mozzarella stick.
Why is that?
A real one. Encased in plastic.
And because, why?
Because I've always wondered, like, have you ever wondered if you encase a food item completely in plastic, will it ever go bad?
Well, get that Genius Grant and you can find out. This has been Can You Get to That? I am Matthew Olson. You can find me on Twitter. It's at Matthew Olson. Spell it right. You can find the show. It's canyougettothat.simplecast.fm. Can You Get to That on iTunes. At Get to That on Twitter. We have a Facebook page, /CYGTT. I put up another teeny tiny video from the last episode there. But keep in mind, it's got clips of Alex Jones, maybe not that funny now. Just saying.
Yeah. And I am Caitlin Best. You can find me on Twitter at Beskabest, BESTKABEST. God, I'm gonna be honest with you, I wasn't listening to what you said. You can find the show on Twitter at Get to That. You can find the show on Facebook at facebook.com/CYGTT.
Yeah, you really weren't listening because I did say those things already.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm not that sorry.
If it's okay with you, can I give a quick plug to the piece of yours that just went up recently?
Yeah, fucking do what you want.
If you go to catapult.co, you can find the article Rage Against, parentheses, and with the machine, written by Caitlin, and it's very good. And I will have you know that I did put on Gorilla Radio on the subway the other day.
And yeah. I was standing on a boombox, I hope.
It was just in my earbuds, but I was standing there in my Doc Martens, and I was like, fuck, if shit starts to go down on this train, I am ready to start throwing hands.
You felt so fucking hard.
I really did.
Are you gonna join Brent's muscle-bound leftist thug gang?
I think if you are already beefy and you think socialism is a good thing, you should definitely get out there and start to intimidate some fascists. In all honesty, in terms of any remaining plugs, plug your article, but please, if you're listening to this and you have the means, consider making especially monthly donations to a group like the ACLU or Planned Parenthood, or look into Lambda Legal for trans advocacy and rights. Really just give your money.
Let me actually give a plug. One of my good friends, I'm not sure who made this website, but one of my good friends posted on Facebook, whatcanido.io.
Yeah.
It's got a whole list of things that you can do. And worth looking at.
Yeah, if you're a white person, we don't have those kind of statistics via Simplecast. No one fills out a fucking form and says, like, here's my background when they listen to this show. But if you are, consider volunteering with Showing Up for Racial Justice. Don't fucking take your time for yourself. I hope that we're able to make you laugh and feel good, and maybe
or just fucking shake your head about something.
Yeah, shake your head at us, you know, not knowing if Roland is a guy.
Not important.
But also don't be silent. Don't let this shit be normal. And if you're a shithead and a racist and xenophobe and all these other bad things, the list is literally too long for me to feel like I want to take up space with it. Stop listening.
Yeah.
To this show. Get the fuck out. Now, Caitlin, can you please type in, was Merlin a guy?
Yes.
So we can settle
this
before the show's over. To end on a light note.
So, inconclusive, but three results down on Google, we do get the wonderful result. It's a quiz, and the quiz is titled, which Merlin guy is for you?
What male Merlin character from the TV show Merlin are you most compatible with? Again, this has been Can You Get to That? I'm fresh out of things to say. Wait, no, really? I got one more.
You got something? You got something to say?
Yeah, and also, I think we might be able to answer it this week.
Okay, God. Yeah, just say it.
What if technology bad, though?
Wonderful way to think about possibilities. It's a wonderful way to explore exotic politics. It's a wonderful way. It's a freedom. It's a way of doing anything you want. There are all sorts of walls around other genres, romances, mysteries, westerns. There are no real walls around science fiction.